Hello and welcome to episode 53 of A Little Bird Told Me, the freelance writing podcast about the highs, the lows, and the absolute no-nos of successful self-employment.
Our home on the web is at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com,
which is not only our Podomatic HQ, but also a hive of handy resources and past episodes. Every link and recommendation we ever give in the podcast, ever, is listed right there, along with all the links to our website, social media feeds, and subscription options, so it's worth going having a nosy. Subscribing is really worthwhile, of course I would say that, but it is. There's a new episode out every week, and there's advice and topics covered in every single one, and we don't scrimp, we can talk the hind legs off a donkey, even when we're doing solo episodes like this one. I'm Laurie Hartshorn, and this week my usual co-host, the lovely Philippa Willits, is busy working away while I share a few drops of writing wisdom with you all. She'll be back next week though, so stay tuned and subscribe if you're missing her as much as I am. This week I'm going to be talking about freelancing quick wins. Sometimes running your own business can be, frankly, overwhelming, because there are so many things that you know that you ought to be doing, but it's almost impossible to find the time when you're busy working your way through paid projects from hard-won clients. So if your time is limited, you need to work out which problem area to tackle first. And in this episode, I've helpfully, and you can thank me later by check or bank transfer, split these freelance mini makeover ideas into different categories so that you can decide which jobs to go for first. The tasks that I've come up with should take no more than about 5 minutes each, and that is exactly the point. You can pick and choose from the lists and decide which bits of your business to tackle first. So the first category I'm going to look at is creating a better workspace. Now, when you work from home, sometimes you can end up going a little bit cabin feverish. You find yourself stuck in the same room day after day, papers piling up, books higher than your head, and just you and your laptop in the middle of all that chaos. And it can be really disheartening. So creating a better workspace is actually a really good way to creating a better state of mind. First tip, clear out the crap. Yes, I'm not mincing my words, clear the crap out. Clean the dust off your keyboard, blow the dust out of the window, clear all those books and dictionaries and thesauruses, or is that thesauri? Thesauruses I'm going to go with. Clear those off your desk, put them back on the bookshelves, test the pens, you've probably got about 6 biros if you're anything like me, sort of sitting around, and you don't know which one works, and then somebody phones, and you end up scribbling really hard, and cutting a hole in your paper, and the pen doesn't work. It's a nightmare. Have a scribble. If they don't work, chuck them out. Second tip, go paperless. Mountains and mountains and mountains of paper. That is an inevitable part of a freelancer's life, unless you're an extremely unusual freelancer. One thing you can do in 5 minutes is to go through your utility bills, your gas, your electricity, your water, phone, broadband, whatever you have, and choose the paperless options, so at least you don't get any more papers from them. It can sometimes actually save you money as well. Sometimes only like 10 pence a month, but still, it's money. I'm happy with money, free money. Third tip, storage solutions. I'm going to stop numbering these because I'm going to lose track of what I'm doing. Storage solutions, though. Find a storage solution that works for you. You might be lucky enough to have your own office in your home, or you might just be working from a corner of the lounge or the bedroom. And no matter how much room you've got, though, make sure that you have storage solutions. So whether it's those little stacky box things under your desk, whether, I saw this one recently, a dish rack on your desk to file all your papers and your files. You get folders and stick them in the dish rack and stick your papers in those, and you've got yourself a handy little in-tray, which is nice. Or go with an in-tray that stacks vertically, so you're not using up all the space on your desk. Grab something that will help you keep bits and bobs out of your way, and you're less likely to get frustrated by all the mess on your desk. Improve your lighting is my next tip. There's nothing worse. Alright, there's plenty of things that are worse, but you know me, I like my hyperbole. There's nothing worse in the world ever than having terrible lighting for your workspace. It's bad for your eyes, it'll give you a headache, you won't be able to see what you're doing, and frankly, it's just a bit troll-like. It's not a good thing. So spend $10, $15 on an LED bulb for your work area, and you've got a light there that's energy saving. It'll save you money on your bills, about £20 a year, I think, for one LED bulb. It reaches full luminosity straight away, which means that you don't have to have that zzz moment while it's warming up, which you do with fluorescent bulbs sometimes, and they're super bright. So what could be better? If you don't have the time to send off for some LED bulbs, or you don't fancy switching to LED, get yourself a nice desk lamp set up, buy one if you need to, grab one from the garage if you've got one, stick it next to your desk, make sure that you are working in well-lit situation. It'll make all the difference, honestly. Next tip, improve your seating. Make sure that you have somewhere comfortable to sit. Don't work on the bed. We've all done it. And it's really bad for your back. It's really bad for your neck. And it's just, you don't feel worky. And I don't care what anybody says. You don't feel worky when you're sitting on your bed or your sofa. Try and get a proper seat. If you can, try and invest in a better chair. If you can't, try and get a pillow on that chair to make sure that your back is straight, you're sitting up, you're not slouching. And honestly, after a few aches and pains in the first few days, it will improve things hugely. Dust, vacuum and mop. If you have 2 minutes to spare, lift everything off your desk, give it a dust, make sure that your workspace is hygienic, vacuum the carpet, mop the floor, clean the windows. Just make sure that you're working in a better space. It will reduce the risk of asthma, breathing problems, skin problems. Don't sit there desiccating like some horrible cave troll in your own filth. Get yourself a damp duster and give everything a clean. Now the next one is technically not how to create a better workspace, but I think it is virtually. Clear out your inbox. Now, if you're anything like me, you will spend an awful lot of time in your email inbox. I actually only see Pip, my co-host, quite infrequently. We don't see each other very much. We live on the other side of the Pennines, which is a mountain range that runs all the way down the middle of England. And while we could easily reach one another, you know, we're a couple of hours away. Pip is like the elf that lives in my inbox. She's always in there. I'm always in there. So I think it counts as a workspace. Clear your inbox out and you will feel so much better. Archive some emails that you're not going to need again. Don't delete them because it will give you the fear if you're anything like me. Just archive them. Boomerang any that you don't need to worry about until next week. And if you don't know what boomerang is, I'm going to pop a link to the show notes in there. Get it. It's fabulous. Answer as many emails as you can quickly and clearly in 5 minutes. So if you've got lots of niggling little queries from people and they're just building up, take 5 minutes, answer as many of them as quickly and clearly as you can, and then they're out of the way and you're one step closer to a nice clean inbox. Second category of tips, create a better online presence. Now this is all about managing your reputation online, making sure that when people find you on the net, they find something that gives them a positive impression rather than some weird online person they perhaps don't want to see or hear from again. Tip one, improve your website. Proofread your website. Chop out anything unnecessary or out of date or anything overly wordy. Add some testimonials in. Add a testimonials page. Go through your LinkedIn. See if there are any testimonials on there that aren't on your website. Pop them on. If you're using WordPress, add a new plugin that shows off your latest tweets, because new content will always help your website ranking, even if it's something as tiny as a tweet. Add a training and development list, add a little page that tells prospects and clients what kind of training and development you do. Add a course to that, you know, let people know which online courses you've done, which non-online courses, offline courses that you've done. Whatever you've done to improve yourself and your service offerings, feel free to shout about it. People do like the added value. Tip two, improve your LinkedIn. I'm back with the numbers again. I'm not going to get much further than tip two. I'm going to stop with the numbers. But improve your LinkedIn. Make sure that your LinkedIn is clear, easy to read, and error-free. Do make sure that your LinkedIn doesn't let you down. Make sure as well that you've included some keywords and some search terms. People don't really think to do that. They don't think of LinkedIn as online content. People tend to just use it as a CV and waffle on. But LinkedIn is a search engine. So when people search for, say, in my case, freelance copywriter Manchester, or maybe for PIP, professional proofreader Sheffield, your name will pop up if you've got the search terms in there. If you haven't linked to your website and your social media feeds yet, make sure you do that, because LinkedIn is a high traffic website. We've actually done an episode on marketing your freelance business on LinkedIn, and that was fairly recent, I think it might have been the last episode. It's early and I've not had a coffee yet, so I couldn't say for sure, but I think that's the last episode, and I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes. The next tip is to improve your Twitter. The same applies to Twitter as it does to LinkedIn when it comes to keywords. Make sure you optimise your profile information. You've only got a few words to work with. It's not difficult. You can do it in 5 minutes. Forget the deep and meaningful quote. Don't have something artsy-fartsy on there. Use your header. Let people know what you do and which services you offer. You can still be eloquent. You can dedicate a little bit of the space to showing a bit of personality, because that's always good. But don't forget the obvious, which is to let people know who you are and what you do. Make sure you also link to your website from your profile as well. I get so frustrated when I come across someone on Twitter who looks interesting. They mention their website and I look at the top of their Twitter thinking, oh, I'd like to have a look at that. No link. I generally lose interest at that point. Maybe I'm fickle. Or maybe I'm just a normal online browser. Twitter moves very, very quickly. And if you can't find the information that you want very quickly, your brain tends to just switch off. Improve your Facebook. I'm not going to go into all the different ways you can improve your Facebook, but the same things apply, really, that apply to LinkedIn and Twitter. Make sure that your information is optimised. Make sure you've filled out all the information if you have a Facebook page. Next tip, improve your headshots. Make sure that the photo that you're using to advertise yourself and your freelance business isn't a rubbish one. Make sure that you're smart, you're well presented, it's well lit, the background is appropriate, it's clear, it's not blurry, you're not doing a duck face. Don't do duck face for your professional pictures. I mean, don't do it at all, would be my advice. Don't do duck face ever, but particularly not for your professional pictures. I have seen people whose LinkedIn shot is them sort of holding the camera above their own face and they're pouting, and I think, no, stop it. So don't do duck face. Make sure that you have just a nice picture of yourself that's up to date as well. Because if you're anything like me, you will have meetings face to face or over video chat with clients and prospects, and it's important to look like the person they're expecting you to look like, at least, you know, vaguely. My next tip is hide the crap. So we've had clear the crap, and now we're on hide the crap. Google yourself. If there are any half-baked, useless profiles that you might have signed up to but not filled in, try and remember the password, sign in and deactivate them. Or, if you want to keep them, fill out the profiles and pop links in there. Make sure, though, that you're not linking back to your website from a really dodgy website, because that's only going to do you harm. Final tip for this section, comment on some interesting blog posts. This is a really quick and easy way to just boost your online presence, get a few more clicks through to your website, get a few more clicks to your LinkedIn or your social media feeds. Make sure you comment on some popular, interesting blog posts, but make sure that you also make really insightful comments. As Pip and I have said on here before, it's so obvious to the world and his dog if you are just commenting for backlinks. So make sure that you actually read the post that you're going to comment on and say something that you've considered. Because it's good, in fact, to have a link back to your website, because they want to browse people's websites, they want to have a look at who's commenting. But at the same time, if you go, great blog post, I said something about this on my website, and that's all that you write, it's not going to look good. Next section, get new ideas. First tip, pick a new service to add to your offering. Maybe you're a copywriter and you think that you could get into proofreading. Maybe you're a proofreader that could get into editing. Maybe you're an academic editor who could get into book editing. Whatever it is that you do, diversifying your business is usually a good thing, as long as you're not spreading yourself too thin. It could be just something as small as press releases. Say you've started out as a copywriter and you do digital content for people, say blog posts, news articles, web content. Research press releases. You know, if you know how to do something like press releases, advertise it on your website, pop that down. You know, there are simple ways to boost your service offerings, and then you can let people know. You can email clients and say, I now offer press releases. If you require any press releases, please do let me know. Yeah, heck, blah. Second tip, invite a writer or a freelancer that you admire out for coffee. Don't do it in a cheesy way. Don't do it in a sleazy way either. What I mean is pick the brains of somebody who's doing well, somebody that you've maybe seen online or that you've maybe chatted to. You know, if they don't want to come for coffee, see if you can have a Skype chat with them. Draw up some really insightful, really intelligent questions that you'd like to ask that person about their business, about their success. And just try your luck, because quite often people will be happy to talk to you. Next tip, sign up to some new email newsletters. As long as you make sure these aren't clogging up your email inbox and undoing all the good work you did earlier, signing up to email newsletters can be really helpful. You can just get a snippet of advice or information or insight every morning or every week, and it can just help to boost your ideas. It's outside input, basically, in a career where often you spend a lot of time on your own and you don't necessarily have colleagues to bounce ideas off. Emails are designed to be digested in a short space of time, as are blog posts normally. So it's a great way to just get that little extra snippet of information while you're having your morning cup of coffee. Next tip, listen to a podcast. Ta-da! You're already doing this one, so well done for getting ahead. But in all seriousness, have a look through our back catalogue. Have a look at all the topics that we've covered. There are so many topics and themes that you can have a browse through. There are other podcasts, of course. You don't even have to listen to something work-related. You can listen to something funny, something topical. Just listen to something. It's just more human contact. It's more external input for you. It's just a fresh new idea when you might be staring at the same four walls for 8 hours a day. Lie down on your bed or even the floor and have a meditate. Now, this is kind of more one of the artsy tips. So you might be listening to me thinking, not entirely sure that's a good idea. If it's not your cup of tea, don't do it. But you would be surprised what a massive, massive difference physically removing yourself from your desk can make, even just for 5 minutes. Go and pop your iPod on, listen to some relaxing music for 5 minutes, do some deep breathing, do some relaxation exercises, and it really can help, honestly. You'll feel really stupid the first times you do it, if you're a bit of a cynic like me, but it really can help. Along the same lines, change your computer desktop wallpaper to a photo or a saying that inspires you. Again, it's cheese, it's pure cheese, but if it makes your life a little bit more pleasant, then why on earth not? The next category is get more money / clients. My first tip is sign up to people per hour and offer an hourly. Now, what this is, an hourly is a set fee project that you can offer on peopleperhour.com, and it saves you having to enter the fray of bidding for work. Now, I'm not particularly keen on freelancing websites like this. However, People Per Hour and their hourlies, I think, are a good thing. With an hourly, basically you have your profile on People Per Hour, you fill out your profile, and then you say, you know, I'll write a top quality press release and accompanying news story for X pounds. And then if somebody likes what you're offering, they can select it. There's no negotiation, there's no bartering, you don't have to compete with a load of other people. Either they want what you're offering or they don't. And if they don't, just forget about it. Just have it there, and it's just another incoming work option. Identify low-paying clients is my next tip. Now, there are two courses of action, really, that you can take once you have identified any clients who don't pay quite as much as you'd like. You can decide whether to ditch them and spend the time doing business development and looking for better clients, or you can increase your rates. Now, again, there are two options when it comes to increasing your rates. What you can do is you can either increase your rates for that one client, and that's often the way it will go. If you don't feel like you could add enough to the fee that you charge that one particular client, but you do need more money overall, sometimes a small increase to all or several of your clients can make a huge difference without one client taking the hit. But make sure that you're not using your tiny clients to subsidise your big clients. Big clients can generally, as is logical, afford to pay more than smaller clients. That's not to say that smaller clients aren't worth keeping on board. I really like some of my wee clients. So yeah, you know, if you need to increase the fees that you're charging, either whack the fee on one low-paying client, and that's not wrong. You know, if somebody's paying less than you need them to pay, then it's an issue and you are entitled to ask for more. Or if you want to just increase everybody's fees just by a little bit, that can really help to boost your income as well, as long as you're not doing it, say, every week. Next tip, check your income records and follow up on late payments by email. Pip and I recently did a two-part dual episode, which was episodes 48 and 50, on how to stop your freelance business wasting and losing money. And this came into it. It can be so easy to forget that you've invoiced somebody and that they haven't paid you. What I tend to do is pop a reminder in my calendar. As soon as I've invoiced somebody, it's part of my invoicing process, I'll stick a note in my calendar for a week after their payment deadline and say, check invoice. Now, if you haven't done that already, start doing it, because it's a really good way to remind yourself not to let people forget to pay you. If somebody forgets to pay you £20, £30, and then someone else forgets to pay you £10, all right, it's not much, but it all adds up, and it's all money that you could be recouping. So just make sure that you keep your records up to date, even if you just use an Excel file, which works fine for me. Make sure that you've ticked off all those payments. Next tip, check who last viewed your LinkedIn profile and email them to see if they'd like to connect or if they need a copywriter. This is a really good way to drum up interest and just dialogue, really. It's nice to talk to people. It's very easy to add people on LinkedIn and never speak to them again. What I find really helpful is to actually contact people who viewed my profile and say, notice that you'd viewed my profile, why don't we link up? I'm offering X services, or I noticed that you're in my local area, or I noticed that you're a graphic designer, maybe you might need some copywriting. You know, maybe your clients might need some copywriting. It's not cheeky. That's what LinkedIn is for. It's a networking site. So make sure that you don't waste your opportunities on there. The next tip for getting more money / clients, basically more money, is dig out all your paper receipts from your pockets and your wallets and your bags and, I don't know, the bottom of a box somewhere, wherever they end up, because receipts really do end up all over the place, don't they? Using a PDF app on your phone, and Pip's recommendation of Cam Scanner in episode 51, I think, was a brilliant one. I'll link to that, of course. Take a picture of all of those business receipts and then chuck them away. Send the PDF picture to your emails or your Dropbox or your Google Drive, wherever. Just make sure they end up somewhere in your cloud or on your laptop, computer, and file them. File them with your accounts or with your accountant and claim the tax back at the end of the year, because it makes a massive difference. You can get 20% return on all of those business expenses, and you're also cleaning away the paper, which is fab. Two tips in one. The next category is get more time. Get more time in just 5 minutes. It'd be lovely. It seems to be what none of us have enough of, time. Start your week off, plan your week. It's really, people can think, well, I can't plan my week, I don't know what's going to come in, I'm a freelancer, you know, I just have to take work as it comes. And that's true, but what you can do is plan the stuff that you do regularly, clearing your inbox, scheduling social media updates, scheduling tweets, having a bit of a clear out, doing some exercise, having your lunch, meeting clients. There are plenty of things that you know that you've got to do that you can easily plan. If you've got work that's already come in, schedule that in, and then the time left over is the time that you use for new work that comes in. And while you might need to be responsive and flexible and shift things around, if you've at least got a bit of a plan of what's coming on, and if you can try and do this every week, it just helps to make a bit more sense and you don't have 5 days of chaos looming ahead of you. Make a to-do list is my next tip. Make a to-do list and split that into days or weeks. Now, this week and the week before actually has been absolute chaos for both me and Pip. We've had so much work that we are swimming. This is a Saturday morning that I'm recording this podcast on, and I still have a lot of stuff to do. I've been working Monday to Friday, and I am swamped. Now, what's really helped me this week, because you just will have busy weeks as a freelancer, it's just part of the gig. What's really helped me is to take the huge, huge to-do list and split it into days. It can be really tempting to just have a huge to-do list and start at the top and work your way down, but that's not a good way to prioritise your work. It honestly really, really is tempting. I find myself being caught up in doing that. But what it's better to do is go through and have a look at stuff that is urgent and stick that on one to-do list. I did this on Thursday this week, and I chopped off things that weren't urgent, and I put them on a list titled Friday. And I did them all on Friday, and I got all my urgent work done on the Thursday, and then I blocked off my Friday for the work that needed doing. It was mostly internal stuff, like paying people, chasing invoices, invoicing people, sorting my accounts, doing some research, doing some social media stuff. It's all kind of stuff that needs to be done, because if you let it slide, it will slide forever. But it wasn't stuff that had to be done first. So I blocked my Friday off for that, and then when work came in on the Friday, if it wasn't urgent, I said, I'm sorry, I'm busy today, I'll tackle it on Monday. And that's sometimes what you have to do. You have to split your to-do list into days, and the sooner you can do that, the better, because it looks more manageable. So if you start on a Monday, for example, and you have a huge to-do list, see when your deadlines are. It can be tempting to just go, no, I don't have time for this, I don't have time to chop my to-do list into bits, I just need to get started. But calm yourself down, have some breakfast, have a cup of tea or coffee, go through your to-do list, and decide what can be postponed till later in the week. You don't have to do it all now, now, now. And just having that stuff out of the way, you know, having a to-do list pinned up on your notice board for you to pull down the next day and ignore for Monday, That can be really, really helpful. It can take some of the pressure off. Next tip for getting more time would be to outsource. If you have regular work that comes in that you have a good handle on, say writing 3 weekly blog posts for a client, and you're absolutely swamped, consider outsourcing. You know, you won't get as much money because you will have to pay somebody to do that work for you, but the time might be more valuable to you. You might need that time to work on something more complicated. You might need that time to do some business development. You might even need that time just to have a break. No matter why you need the time, though, you know, I wouldn't suggest outsourcing complex work, because it's important that your clients get the best possible quality work and the best possible service from you. But if it's a blog post that you write every week, and it's just the same old, then do consider outsourcing if you need to. Next tip, put your out of office on. It's amazing how much you can get done when you know that your clients don't expect an instant response. When you're stressed, it can be really tempting to see an email, just ping into your inbox and go, oh, I have to respond to this now. You don't, especially if your out of office is on. Pop a concise note on your out of office, on your autoresponder, about how you're in meetings for the day, for the afternoon, and then forget about it. Use the time to catch up on that huge piece of work that's needing your full concentration. It doesn't do your clients any harm either to think that you're in a meeting with someone else and that you're in demand. Next tip, go through your list of blog posts that need writing up. We've all got one, haven't we? All these blog posts, all these ideas that we think, yes, I'll write an article on this and I'll put it on my website and it'll be amazing. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time to plan them and draft them and proofread them and edit them and find pictures for them and upload them and promote them and blah, blah, blah. And this is why you have a list and not just lots and lots and lots of blog posts. Now, you can't write a blog post, or you can't write a good blog post in 5 minutes, and nor should you try, but why not prepare your blog posts? There's nothing worse than a blank page to intimidate you and put you off writing a blog post, particularly given that a blog post is usually an internal deadline, not an external one, so there's nobody breathing down your neck and waiting for it. It's one of those things you can put off easily. But get yourself ahead of the game. Prepare your blog posts by coming up with titles and images for them. Images really do help to boost click-through rate when you write a blog post. People like stuff with pictures. I don't think we ever grow up. People love pictures. So get yourself on a free image site like search.creativecommons.org, and I will link to that again in the show notes. Choose some really eye-catching images and pop those and a title, if you can think of one, into an individual file for the blog post that you're thinking about. Type in there, image by whoever the image is by, and add a hyperlink to wherever that person wants you to hyperlink. That's usually the condition when people will let you use their images by Creative Commons license. So image by, name and hyperlink, used under a Creative Commons license, and then you can just write the blog post in there when you're done. You've got the image, you've got the attribution, you're going to give credit where credit's due, and you've shaved off 5 minutes when it comes to writing up that blog post. And a blank page, as I say, is always the worst thing, so you've just solved that problem, you've got words on a page. Next category, penultimate category, improve your skills. First tip is watching a TED Talk or a YouTube video. Have a look on YouTube. As Pip informed me the other day, YouTube is actually the second biggest search engine on the net. It's mahoosive. So while we sometimes think of it for dancing dogs and cute cats falling off tables and things, and it really is great for those things, it's really good for training materials as well. So have a look at somebody interesting, inspiring, giving a talk on a subject that is useful or interesting to you. Have a 5-10 minute watch and you've learnt something you didn't know before. Same goes for taking an online course. You might not have time to take the whole course, but you can do 5 minutes on a short course. Sign up to attend a local seminar. There are plenty of local business networking groups that have talks, and they're not as expensive as you might think. So have a look at, in the UK, we have eventbrite.com, and I'll link to that again. I'm not sure if that's an international site or not, but I often go and have a nosy and see if there's anything in my local area that I can just pop to for half an hour. So, okay, it's not a 5-minute tip, but if there's a networking event on, or if there's a talk being held, or a seminar that you can sign up to, go ahead and sign up. Same goes for e-courses or newsletters, sign up to those. Next tip, add 5 new writing blogs to your Feedly. And if you don't know what Feedly is, it's an RSS reader that allows you to read all your favourite blogs in one place. It's another Pip tip. So if you want more information on Feedly or apps that can be useful for freelance writers, do go and have a listen to episode 51, which was Pip's last solo episode, and it's on that very topic. Read a book is my next tip. My goodness, we don't read books anymore. Get yourself down to your local library, get yourself a book, read a book. Non-fiction books are great. You can hold them, you can flick through them, you can get yourself away from your laptop screen for a while. It's all good. Final tip in this category, follow 5 or 10 fellow freelance writers on social media. Now, this isn't about copying people or imitating people or stealing people's ideas, and by no means, should you approach anybody's contact or clients. Don't go and follow somebody and then follow everyone that they're following or something creepy like that. That's not appropriate. It's just about getting inspiration for your own business. See how they pitch themselves, see how their tone is, see what they post. Have a look at freelance writing blogs they post from. Have a look at marketing blogs they post from. You can learn a lot by watching someone else. Think of it as like a nature documentary. Go and investigate the rare, lesser spotted freelancer and see what they're up to. My final category is improve your customer relations. And these are just wee tips that you can do in 5 minutes to improve your relationships with customers and prospects. So first tip is to make a list of your clients and put a sad, happy or neutral face next to them, depending on your gut instinct on how you think the relationship is going at the moment. Have a look down through the neutral and the sad faces and see if there's anything that you can think of to improve the relationship. You know, you might not be able to action that in 5 minutes, but you can at least identify opportunities where you can improve your customer relationships. Second tip, send a useful link to your clients along with some information on how it could help them. I spotted the news about Facebook changing their rules for online promotions recently, and I remembered a client of mine, not a very frequent client at all, but I remembered that they had said they wanted to run more Facebook contests. So I popped that link into an email and just said, "Hi X, spotted this, thought you might be interested." You know, it's worth bearing in mind that, you know, you still have to do X, Y and Z for Facebook contests, but this might well make it easier. Hope you're well, best wishes, blah. I got a really positive response, and I may never get business from that client again. You know, like I say, they're not a frequent client, but I'm offering them added value. So hopefully, if they're ever in the market for more copywriting services, I will at least be on their list. An extension of this is that you can prepare an informative document for your clients as a freebie. I was in touch with a client recently who had never sent a press release out before. It's a new company and they didn't quite know what they were doing. So I sent them an email about how to prepare and send off the press release that I'd written for them. Now, you often find yourself giving step-by-step advice to clients like this without even really thinking about it. You just pop it in an email, whack it off to them, and everybody's happy. They've got advice and you've helped a client. What you can do, though, is pull that information out of the email, generalise it, turn it into a PDF, and send it to your other clients as a freebie. Now, everybody loves a freebie. Everyone loves free information, and it shows your clients that you're not just in it for the money, you're not out to get only paid work, that sometimes they will just get free stuff from you, and that you are helpful and that you care about helping them do a good job and getting the most out of the press release or whatever it is that you do for them. And that's a good thing, that's a nice thing to do. What you can do, which is sort of an extension on that, is you can save the information in PDF format and offer it as a white paper for on your blog. So you're not really dealing with clients at that point, you're dealing with prospects. But if you want to get more email addresses from people and you want to get people signing up to your mailing list so that, you know, you can get in contact with them again, offer, you know, a guide to sending a press release on your website as a freebie. You know, there are ways and means of getting more use out of content that you might otherwise never look at again. The next tip on improving client relations is just to ask people how they're doing, just to phone people for a chat. Haven't spoken to you for ages. I know that we email a lot, but I thought I'd catch up on the phone. How's everything going? How's your wife? How's your daughter? Is everything good? How is the house move? You know, if you've got a good relationship with a client, by all means, ask them appropriate questions. You know, keep it on a superficial level. But ask them appropriate questions about how life is doing. Be a voice on the end of the phone. It humanises you a little bit more than an email would. You can, if you're not quite as friendly with a client, you can phone them for a chat about how they think work is going. Just thought I'd give you a phone just to see how everything's going. Are you happy with the work? Is there anything I can do to improve the working methods? Are you happy with the level of contact that we have? Is there anything else I can do to improve the situation for you? If it's coming up to Christmas, Eid, Hanukkah, final tip in this category is take 5 minutes to thank your recent social media followers and ask if they need a writer. Now this works. I've won business from this quite frequently actually. Is if you say to somebody, "Oh, thanks for the follow, thanks for liking my Facebook page, thank you for connecting with me on LinkedIn, thanks for the retweets." People do get talking to you. At the very least, it's a nice thing to do, as long as you're not just like, "Thank you for the retweet, thank you for the retweet, thank you for the retweet." You know, you have to add other things in there. But it's okay to periodically say to someone, oh, thanks for retweeting, hope you enjoyed the blog post, you know, really look forward to tweeting with you, whatever. So those are my 5-minute mini makeover top tips for freelance writers. If you've got 5 minutes and you want to make a big difference to your freelance business, those little tips will do you no harm at all. Sometimes small things will make a big, big difference. And habits are hard to introduce if you try and introduce them all at the same time, I think. But if you try and just introduce one small habit at a time, just adding in a bit of extra value and getting a little bit more out of your business, just squeezing your freelance business just that little bit harder and a little bit better, it will make the world of difference. So it's time for the infamous Little Bird Told Me recommendation of the week. My recommendation this week is a list of free audiobooks available on a website called openculture.com. Now, Open Culture is, it is what it sounds like, really. It's a resource, it's an online resource, and it tags itself as the best free cultural and educational media on the web, and there's all sorts on there. Now, there are language learning courses, there are free films, there are ebooks, textbooks, kids' education stuff, video sites, something it titles life-changing books. I don't know, I haven't had my life changed, but, you know, it's okay, they're good. And the list of free audiobooks, there are 525 of them, so there's a nice selection. What inspired me to start looking at free audiobooks was my relatively recent disappointment with Audible. Now, recently, and I say recently, it's fairly recent, there was a big kerfuffle on Facebook because there are some quite nasty pages on there that Facebook has not been dealing with very well. There are misogynist pages, there are pages promoting rape and abuse and assault, and Facebook wasn't really getting rid of those. So people began putting pressure on companies that were advertising on Facebook and saying to them, we need you to put pressure on Facebook, we need you to say to Facebook, it's not acceptable that adverts for these pages are appearing on my Facebook page. Now, a lot of companies responded really well. They were disgusted and they said, right, Facebook, not good enough, we don't want adverts like this appearing on our pages, it's disgusting, it's gross, and Facebook have reviewed their reporting abuse buttons as a result of that. Now, bringing it back to my free audiobooks, I was disappointed with Audible. Audible, big, big, big audiobook provider, they refused to do anything. They weren't bothered at all. And it was horrible to watch. They had loads and loads of their customers saying, Audible, come on, do something, you know, condemn this, talk to Facebook, engage with your customers. And they really just didn't. They were one of the companies that outright refused to deal with the situation. And it's put me off them for life. Another one of those companies was Dove. And I've had to change all my soaps and my shampoos and my deodorants and things because I was just so disappointed. Now, Audible, it's a great service, but it's expensive. And as I say, I'm disappointed with them. They're in my blacklist. They're in my bad books. So if you like to listen to audiobooks, why not have a nosy down Open Culture's list of free audiobooks? There's a good selection on there, as I say. It's great if you want to read a new book, but you can't quite face another day of written words. And sometimes, as a freelance writer, you do get to that point. Now, another good option to try, because I'm not going to shortchange you, I'm determined for this to be a good recommendation. Another good option is, I think you pronounce it LibriVox, although I would kind of like it to be LibriVox, because it sounds a little bit like library books. But it's LibriVox, LibriVox.org. And it's a project that aims to get every book that's in the public domain recorded and available as an audiobook. And if you fancy a new challenge, you can sign up as a reader as well. So you can find yourself reading audiobooks. And I think it's great. I think it's great for people with visual impairments. You know, audiobooks are fabulous. And it's great for people who just don't have it in them to read another printed or ebook. So it's fab. You can download all of these books as MP3s. You can subscribe to LibriVox or LibriVox. Really hope it's LibriVox. On iTunes, so it really is easy to get those audiobooks down to your iPod and maybe you could listen to them for 5 minutes when you're having the little meditation session that I mentioned earlier. So that brings us neatly to the end of episode 53 of A Little Bird Told Me, the freelance writing podcast to end all freelance writing podcasts. It's the only one you ever need. I really hope you've enjoyed this latest episode. If you have, why not go and have a nosy through the other episodes? They're all at alittlebirdtoldme.podomatic.com. And with me being a booky sort of person and Pip being a tech and social media wizardess, there is bound to be something right up your street. And if there isn't, come and let us know, and there will be soon. Do make sure you subscribe. The episodes are weekly and you'll get a notification as soon as the latest one is out. So come and have a chat. We've got a Facebook page. We have individual social media feeds. And where I am, Pip is never far. And where Pip is, I can usually be found. We're nice and friendly, so you'll find the both of us and let us know if you've got any feedback, questions or ideas for future podcasts. In the meantime, I have been Laurie Hartshorn. Thank you again for listening, and Pip and I will catch you next time.